every night, so someone comes and asks me, a neighbor asks me, the follow-up question, I have a son who is 3 years old, and he doesn't have asthma, but sometimes he has coughing fits and he doesn't breathe properly. And he gets a nebulizer treatment. So a nebulizer, what is a nebulizer? Have you seen a nebulizer?
Yeah, it's like a machine that gives you medicine for asthma.
Right, so it's not, like sometimes people have a puffer for asthma. So nebulizers, and they did some studies on how accurate, meaning when you use that pump, most of the medicine goes straight to your lungs. How much of that gets stuck in the back of your throat and on your throat on the way down is a lot. And so they try to create a way that some of these kids at least can take this medication in a way that they'll actually inhale most of it. As opposed to just because you're not going to be able to fight with a kid who's not able to breathe. Right? You have girls also with asthma. I don't know if you've seen someone doing this. They're not breathing right. That's the problem. And then you want them to do this properly and inhale and like do this whole Mr. Goss, it's not easy. So a nebulizer is like a machine that tries to make it into an aerosol. So you can just inhale it and it's like droplets as opposed to like a spray, so they'll actually go down into your lungs. Right? Because it acts locally, it acts on the lungs to dilate the lungs. The albuterol, it dilates the lungs instead of constricting, right? And the inflammation causes asthma, and we try to reduce that. So he was getting a nebulizer treatment for like less than 3 or 4 days. He had a cold, and if he has a cold, he has issues. The mother has asthma. She has it for as long as she can remember. So they thought he was Friday already, they gave it to him one last time, and they didn't think he needed it for Shabbos. So normally what they do on Shabbos, they have a daughter also, and she frequently gets it, and so they leave the nebulizer on the timer to go off every 4 hours. It'll go on for a half hour every 4 hours, so she needed to have it. So they forgot, it was plugged in, but they forgot to turn it on, and now he's coughing, he woke up, it's like 10 o'clock at night, he woke up, he went to sleep at like 8, he woke up, he can't breathe, not stuck on his nephages, but he's not comfortable, right? He's no risk for life. So, but the nebulizer is off, so what do you do?
Turn it on.
So the question, turning on the nebulizer, what iser is it?
Oh, you have the shinoi then, according to everybody, it's basically.
So not everybody, we'll talk about it, right? We'll talk about it, right? Okay, so what can you, let's say he's a cholesha in bo sakana. He's definitely, first of all, we'll talk about children at the end of this year today. Children may always be a cholesha in bo sakana. Certainly 3-year-olds are always a cholesha in bo sakana, even if nothing's bothering them.
It's only 3.
He's 3. But even if he's an adult who's like not able to breathe comfortably and is therefore uncomfortable, I would argue he's a cholos ein bo sakana. He has a chola kol haguf. His whole body is ailing. He can't breathe properly. He's sufficiently uncomfortable. Rav Schechter would certainly say he's not acting normally. I think he would qualify as a cholos ein bo sakana for everybody. So what can you do for a cholos ein bo sakana? The number one halacha tochan aruch, what should you do?
Before that,
it's already lumdis at the bottom. What's the first din of Cholos Ein Bo Sakana?
Amir
Lenachri. You got a non-Jew, right? And they can do anything for you. So they can plug it in, turn it on. Okay. So now, fine. It's good, right? Okay, so we're looking at some tanks. Not a lack of Nachrim around, fine.
Not that you wanted your house.
Right, you wanted to come to the turn? Okay, so the issue was, so fine, we'll try to do that. So she'll turn it on, it's Friday night. So the wife was concerned that if it's left on all Shabbos, it might not work properly. Okay, I don't see why, but okay. Maybe, I don't know. And if he needed it Friday morning and he needed it Friday night, he may very well need it Shabbos day at some point. And if it's not working properly, that's not going to be good. So we need to shut it off also. Right? Okay. So we're going to try to get a guy to shut it. Why are we shutting it off? We're shutting it off because he might need it again. Right? So that's also because he may become a cholesha ein bo sakana. There's a reason. It's not just like, he might be a cholesha ein bo sakana. We actually think he may become a cholesha ein bo sakana again during the day because it makes sense. He was for the last 3 days. He was this morning. We thought he got better. He needs it again tonight. Makes sense. We're going to get enough to shut it off. So they didn't want to bother the same person twice, so they really didn't want to bother the lady. From the neighbor at the beginning. So what can you do? So you can do a Dirabbanan B'Shinui. So what's the issue of turning on the nebulizer? So we didn't really talk about electricity, but we'll have a share about electricity. The Chazon Ish thinks it's an issue d'araisa of a bone or makev patish. You're creating something new. Because before, it was broken. It was useless. It wasn't working. It wasn't a working nebulizer. And you made a working nebulizer. So that's an iser of creation. You made something new. You built something new. You built a new machine. And so that's an iser d'oraisa. For some Zan Lor Bach thinks that most electricity is only an iser d'rabbanan at best, if that much. And therefore, if you could turn it on machinely, that would be optimal. So I think most poskim assume that we try to follow the chaznish whenever we can. We try to follow the chaznish. We tell people, it's d'oraisa, follow the chaznish. Question is, but really, most poskim don't accept the chaznish. It's a big chiddush, which we'll see. So they say, oh, when it comes to a chola, we'll quietly tell you, like Rosh Hashanah, the chol sheyesh bo sakana, chol sheein bo sakana. Certainly by a chol sheyesh bo sakana, and let's say it's a chol sheyesh bo sakana, and we're going to say, like the Ramad is the chuya, so we're going to try to minimize the level of iser. So even then, we'll say, we hold like Rosh Hashanah, it's only the Rabbanon, you do whatever you need to do. By chol sheein bo sakana, so back and forth. So we said, right, there's a machlokas, now can you do a derabanan b'shinui? Right? So we saw, a derabanan b'shinui you could do. So if you have like Rosh Hashanah, you have to, you can turn it on b'shinui, using your elbow, using your foot, whatever. Right? So it is actually in an inconvenient place that he couldn't turn it on. So I don't mean you can pick it up and move it. I mean, the most social way to move a machine, if you need to use it, you can use it, you can move the machinery also. Fine, so he was going to turn it on with his foot, which I think is certainly machinery. We'll talk about turning on with your left hand as opposed to your right hand. Unlikely machine. Fine. So he turned it on, and then he opened the medicine. I thought he could open the medicine. He wasn't sure, so I opened the medicine for him. When they had the guy turned it off. Fine. So let's just talk about the d'oraisa machinery, how the sheet has come down. Because halacha l'maisa, what do we do? A d'oraisa. I should know how to spell. D'oraisa. It's a d'oraisa. Wow. Okay. Not that that's the right place. So the right machinery. So we saw the Rabban actually says this straight out, right? The Rabban, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting. The Rabban says it, the Rabban and machinery. And that's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If you continue reading the Rabban, he says it, the right machinery. So we saw that the Avnei Nezer, the Sachar Tzav Rebbe, Eglei Tal, the same person, he said, therefore we should follow this Rabban and the right machinery. Today, Halacha L'maaseh, who follows this? So Rav Shefker thinks this is halacha ma'isa. We follow this d'oraisa b'shinui. Rav Adi Yosef says we should follow this d'oraisa b'shinui. It's mutter for chol she'en bo sakana. We saw the chut shani with Nissim Karelitz. Right, he had that very interesting shot before. So he said, no, we don't follow this. And the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, by Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, by Rav Neuvert, who pretty much is quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach all the time, he says the following. He says, "Aser lasas malacha d'oraisa fil b'shinui." You're not allowed for chol she'en bo sakana. You're not allowed to do a malacha d'oraisa. Even b'shinui. So then in the footnotes he says, v'shamati me'er shlomo zalman orbach shlitzal, I heard from him, d'mikeven d'kol eila g'dol ha'matirim, because there's so many poskim who say it's fine, yes, it's not in Shulchan Aruch, but so many poskim say it's fine, mistara d'yachol v'vadei l'hakel im yeshar al d'nachri. Certainly it could be makel if you can't get a nachri really. So ideally you should try to find, according to Shmir Shabbos, you should try to find a nachri first. If you cannot, it's certainly going to be permissible. We'll talk about Sakanas Aver. By Sakanas Aver, he says it's certainly permissible to do the right machine. We'll talk about Sakanas Aver shortly. You say it straight out, not a hinting, no hinting. You just ask them, can you turn this on? It's Shabbos, I cannot do it. You can even show them what to do. Like if it's like a timer or whatever, you can show them exactly what to do. Amir al Nafri, straight Amir al Nafri. Okay. So the next section here is about Malachas Shein Sirchol Gufa, but we discussed that a little bit. Not really interested in discussing it more. So we'll just mention it briefly. We said that you can do Durabah the machinery. So there's certain things that qualify to make an Isser, a Malachas Shabbos Isser Daraisa, right? We said it has to be, right, to qualify. So we said it's called the Malachas Machshevas. Right, that's what the Torah calls, that's what the Gemara calls the category of malacha that's forbidden. Midoraisa Shabbos has to be a malachas machshavas, which has, therefore requires to have several components. It has to be done b'kavana, on purpose. It has to be done legufa, for either for the purpose it was done in the Mishkan, or for, right, as opposed to Chofer, you're digging a hole for the dirt. You're digging a hole for the hole. It has to be done kedarka, right, normally. Purposefully. Has to be a derech tikkun. Has to be constructive. Has to be by one person. One person when it can be done by one person. And the malacha cannot be done without two people, so then two people, you need two people to do it, so then you violate only with two people. But if it can be done with one person, you're using two people. If we can both, we can both turn on the switch, we can both turn on the switch by ourselves, we do it together, we do any malach together, we do a choresh together, I could dig a hole in the ground by myself, we're both holding the shovel together, that's already considered to be not normal, that's considered to be two people, and therefore it is not going to be a malach is more service, not going to be the rice. Right, when it can be done by one, but it is being done by two practically. Okay, so it's not normal.
Is that a kedarka thing, or is...
Right, so it's much like this. Okay, but it has a separate limud. It has a separate pasuk that tells you that it needs to be done by one. So is it a problem of kedarka or not kedarka? So is it really a separate one or not? Not relevant right now. So any missing any one of these is going to make it into drabana. So let's say you have a malacha shein nisur kalagufa, right? Right, in Sri Kalagufa is an Isur Drabanan. So, if you do this Bishinu, it should be mutter, right? Any Drabanan Bishinu should be mutter for Kalashayin Basakana. Is that true across the board? Any Drabanan Bishinu or only certain Drabanan Bishinu? Because in Sri Kalagufa is really hard to, right, we're trying to find it really precisely, and it's not so simple, right? It's not that easily definable, and people aren't really going to understand. So the Be'er Halacha tries to say that Melachos Shein Sirchei Lagufa is really, really, really a super drabanan. It's really close to an Issur D'oraisa, and therefore we're not going to allow it for a Cholos Shein Basakana B'Shinui. Right? The issue would be, can you turn, right, when you blow out a candle, you're going to turn off a light for Cholos Shein Basakana, we're assuming that's a D'oraisa. It's a Melachos Shein Sirchei Lagufa. Right? I'm not blowing out the candle because I want to make the wick into coals so I can light it better next time. I'm blowing it out because I don't want it lit anymore. It's Ein Sirchei Lagufa. So what if I put it out in some strange way, B'Shinui, is that going to be mutter for Cholos Shein Basakana? Right? So the Gemara seems to say, no, you can't blow out the candle for Cholos Shein Basakana. And the question is, maybe if I did B'Shinui. So the Shulchan Aruch Be'er Halacha says, no, you may not do B'Shinui. Other Rishonim there, one of the Rishonim says, or Achronim, sorry, I don't remember who, one of the Poskim says that, yeah, people don't know the difference, and therefore we're going to be a little bit more careful when it comes to this issue because people might come to make a mistake. Certainly by candles, people may come to make a mistake, and therefore we don't want to do it. So there's a big machlekes by Melacha Shein Sirchei Lagufa, which is Nisa Drabanan, and if you do it Bishinui, is it mutter for Cholos Shein Basakana? The Be'er Halacha says no. Other modern poskim, like Rav Avadia, says no. It's fine. You can do Melachos Shein Sirchei Lagufa by with a shinui for a drabana for a Cholos Shein Basakana. Turning out lights is different. The Ron already said why blowing out lights would be different. Right? He gave three different reasons. We saw maybe you can you don't have to always blow that candle. You can move the person perhaps. Alternatively, that it doesn't actually have to be directly with the cholet. Or it's only maybe going to help to have him sleep, but not certainly going to help, but so therefore not. But otherwise, it would be mutter. So the Shmir Shabbos says, "Ulinyan melachos shein sirchei lagufa came into lenisker lahachner ela b'chol she'ein bo sakana." By chol she'ein bo sakana, really, this Be'er Halacha says you should be machner. But in another place, the Be'er Halacha is not so sure. So he says, "By chol she'ein bo sakana." You're going to see a theme in the chol in the Shmir Shabbos. So he says, whatever we're going to be machmer by a cholish eibah sakana, by a sakana saver, which we'll talk about in a second, we're going to permit. So what's a sakana saver? Let's see what sakana saver. So fine. So melachos shein sirchei lagufa, Be'er Halacha says to be machmer. Rav Avadia says you can be mekel. Rav Shlomo Zalman says be machmer by a cholish eibah sakana, but by mekel by a sakana saver. So let's discuss now sakana saver, right? So he mentioned that a Sakala Sefer is like... So the question is, how we'll peg the category as Sakala Sefer, right? This person has no risk to life. That's clear, right? No risk to life, very important. Does such a thing exist? I'm not really interested right now, we'll talk about it later. Is there such a thing as a sakana sefer with no risk to life? Because once there's a risk to life, it's called a yesh bo sakana, and this whole shir is irrelevant. Let me go back to the first set of shir, called a yesh bo sakana, what do you do? We have to find a sakana sefer where there's no risk to life. Okay? Because once there's a risk to life, again, it's completely separate. So...
Is any infection like a risk to life?
So most infections that require antibiotics, most people will assume there's a potential risk to life. Certainly, like a serious infection. Like if you have an infection in your finger, like you have a cut and it got infected and it's not like terrible, I think most people would say just wait.
But it's blood technically couldn't go through blood.
It technically could, so should you treat it like a false yesh bo sakana? I guess it depends on how bad it was. You have to judge on your own. On a weekday, would you leave work early to go get it taken care of? Would you go take care of it or would you wait till later to go to the clinic? Whatever you would do during the week, you should do on Shabbos. If it looks bad, then you say, no, you know what, I go during my lunch break to go to the hospital to get it taken care of. So maybe you should. Maybe you shouldn't drive there. Maybe you should take a cab. you should try to minimize. But it should be okay. So...
Are there any examples given by the...
I have one example that I think is clear. But we have to define what sakana sefer is first. Then we'll use my example. So, you know, someone whose limb is falling off, right? Sakana sefer means a risk to the limb. So someone who had their arm chopped off and it's now detached, he might lose his arm, maybe we reattach it. He probably has this gaping wound that needs to be closed also, and so we should really take care of that. It's a close yesh bo sakana. Once I'm treating him, now what can I do? Do I sew up the wound or do I sew back the arm? Okay. You have a question, right? Let's say sewing up the arm requires more malachas on Shabbos than just closing up the wound.
Wouldn't that at that point just be like a chiyuv Hashem when you're in the hospital?
No, he's from and I'm from, we're all from. The rabbi standing there, Shlomo Zalman Zatzal was standing there. We're all going to say, whatever you say, rabbi, we're doing. Right? Okay, this is not going to happen either. But let's say, you know, ideal circumstances. What you should do practically is a different story. You shouldn't be working on Shabbos. That's just it. But let's say you're in Israel, so like you don't have a choice. Right here, you could say, do I need to work? There are plenty of doctors in this country who can all work on Shabbos instead of us. In Israel, there aren't. They're all Jews, right? I mean, not all. But the great, vast percentage of doctors are Jews, so you can't get out of that way. So we're going to know everyone. We're going to be the place standing there. We're not wasting any time. These men are standing there in the emergency room passing Shabbos. So we'll talk about that. What's the issue? Meaning, let's say sewing back the arm requires 30 stitches. I mean, it's going to be a lot more than stitches, right? But, okay. And just sewing up the wound requires 25 stitches. So let's say stitches are necessary. So once I do it, we'll talk about that. It's called Ribu B'Shira, maybe. Maybe it's not Ribu B'Shira. Maybe it's Ribu Malachas. We'll talk about that. In theory, we do put it. Rishon Zalman said you treat him. Once you're treating him, certainly he's a Chol Yesh Bo Sakana. We could say Hutra. If we say Hutra, we treat him as we would during the week. Nobody during the week would ever have a house. We did it. Not Rishon Zalman. And he's Sakana Sefer, so maybe we'll allow D'Oraisa. There is a machine, if you can do a machine. Get around it. We'll talk about that separately. So what is Sakana Sefer? So I want to categorize it as a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. Because there's no risk to life. Right? There's no risk to life. So whether there's a risk to life or no risk, I mean, it depends how you're making your categories. Risk to life versus no risk to life. He's clearly a no risk to life. However, a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana is someone who's just not feeling well. A Sakana Sefer is he's potentially losing this limb. It's a lot more severe than a regular Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. So it's at least somewhere between Chol She'ein Bo Sakana and Chol She'eish Bo Sakana, right? So you can categorize it as you want, but there is, fact is, the reality is no risk to life. However you want to categorize it, there's no risk to life. There's Sakana for losing limb, but he's more than just a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. So we will define it a lot more clearly after. Okay. So So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Kaf Ches Amud Beis, says the following. It says, Ayin Shemarda Mutar L'Kochla B'Shadna. So you have an eye. Someone's eye was in Moreda. Let's get the Gemara. Ayin Shemarda means something bad is happening to this guy's eye. Right? It rebelled. So it's not just rebelling. We'll just assume the eyes don't rebel, but like it's doing some funny thing. And let's look at what Rashi says here. So don't make it up.
Kind of Middle Ages medical
right, so like,
terms.
The terms are funny.
Right.
All we have to do is, what did they think was happening? Was it dangerous or not dangerous? That's really what I'm interested in. You know, what did they think was happening? Shemarim. Sharoza loves it. The eye wants to leave. It looks like it's
popping out.
Okay? Mutter l'kachla b'shabbos. You can do some medicine to it on Shabbos. Okay? So now, is this a risk to life? I don't think so. He'll lose his vision, right? He'll lose his vision. Losing your vision, we're going to assume, is not a risk to life. I know the Gemara says blind people are considered like dead people at some point. We're assuming losing the vision, certainly in one eye, is not a risk to life. I think, I tried to look into this once, do blind people on average die younger than people who can see? If that would be true, then being blind would be equivalent of having a sakaras nefashos, right? Anything that can happen to you that will reduce your lifespan, your life expectancy, is going to be a chol sheyesh bo sakana. The question is, do blind people on average live less? So, Rabbi Chiliak of Weinberg was 30 age, but yeah, you know, so they get into probably get, you know, fall and trip and like get hit by cars more frequently than people can see. Because, you know, we can avoid the cars. I just don't know if it's a fact or not. I don't think it's a fact. So this guy's going to lose vision in one eye. So it says, oh, you could do for him, mutar l'kochla b'shabbos, you can put some medicine in his eye, you can violate an issur rabbanan for his save his vision. Right? So the question is, well, now, just remember the previous year, we said, well, what can you do for chol she'ein bo sakana? Right? This guy has a sakana sefer, and for him, you can do the rabbanan. Does that mean for every chol she'ein bo sakana, which is going to be a lower level, you can also do a drabanan, or maybe not. Right here, you can do a drabanan without a shinui. Right? There's no shinui necessary. You can do the regular medicine for a sakana sefer. So some of the rishonim say, yeah, this whole concept of sakana sefer isn't real. Remember, I tried to figure out which category it belongs in? So there are only two categories. Yesh bo sakana, ein bo sakana. This is ein bo sakana, and you can do a drabanan. You can always write, we saw that Magen Mishnah before. There are rishonim who say you can do any drabanan you want for a cholish ein bo sakana. Right? So they prove from here, look, he's going to lose his vision, that's not a threat to life, and you can do the drabanan. Other posts can rather reach something and say, no. This is different, this is sakana sefer. Not a cholish ein bo sakana. For a sakana sefer, you can do a drabanan without a shinui. For a cholish ein bo sakana, you can only do a drabanan b'shinui. The problem is the next line of the Gemara, which is a little bit more exciting in terms of your medieval medicine. He says, so my taima, why can you do this? This shuriyamin, the ena, the dovnita, the liba kol. The muscles of the eye are connected to some part of the heart. Right? Okay. Now, I don't have ease.
When you see something you love, you feel it.
But more importantly, why in the world did they think this was true? Right? Like,
well, I mean, maybe like if they're talking about the general systems of the body, you know, maybe they need muscles. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Right? Okay, but he just says it here. Well, that's not very large.
Okay.
Also, he says, right? Parshul v'dar ayin shemar the mutar l'kochla b'shabbos. Right? You can give it medicine sometimes. Likchola to ayin is to put blue stuff in your eye to medicine. Medicine should be blue. So if you never have a shiloh color medicine, should be having orange or blue. My taima dishriyone the ena. I think there's a lot of problems. V'uvet the liba tov. And Rashi says. Oh, You said it. I think I'm missing half a line. Okay, go! There we go. Now we can see all of our options. No, we can't. Right? So you said, so the eyes are connected to the heart. So it sounds like, oh, you connect to Michal Shabbos for the eyes because it's Sakanas Nefashis. Because if you don't, you're going to get some bad heart thing. Now, whatever they thought of a heart, we knew it was important. Whatever they thought its function was, they knew it beat because they could feel it. They knew it had something to do with blood because they saw it in animals. And it seems to be very important. So, okay, if your eyes are connected to your heart and you mess up the eyes, you mess up the heart, that's not really good. So he gives examples now. Go on my, like what kind of, Okay, go on my, on what kind of eye problems, and they give you examples of eye problems. Okay? Different eye problems, but this is a very important line, because it's going to create a lot of problems for us. This, Sir Yoni, the in the movement of the Leap of Hope. Right? Because what about, so are we allowed to Chal Shabbos for the eye because you can lose your vision? Or only because it's going to, right? So that's going to be our question right now. So, so are we going to, now we're going to have a problem.
What seems like the danger to the heart would be something that has to do with
right. Is it because, right, so you can mutar l'kocha?
This is all we're talking about.
That's the only example we're given, right? So is it because it's sakanas nefashos? Or it's because sakanas sefer? Which one? Meaning, you're right. It's connected to your heart, but you lose vision. Also, is that enough to matter it? What is the underlying, what is the reasoning here? So the Ran says, you see from here, the kol hecha de'ika sakanas aver, when there's a risk to a limb, the eye counts as a limb, right? Limb isn't a good word. It's probably a better word for aver in English. Limb sounds to me like an extremity. But to an organ, limb, organ, aver. You can't do it. This is the raisa for it. A person's life's not at risk. Malacha shel divrei sofer matirin bo afilu de Yisrael. He says, the Ran says like this. This is the Ran. Any derabanan, even normally. Right? For chol she'ein bo sakana, we're going to need the shinui. For sakana's average, one level up, a little bit more serious, will allow you to do a derabanan without a shinui. Okay?
So does that mean that we can do, like, just thinking, like, based on the thought process for shit, just thinking of sakana, that it would be easier just to do the derabanan with shinui?
Certainly the derabanan with shinui is going to be permissible, right? So we already saw, so for the Ramban, Avnei Nezer, Ravadi, who will allow you to do a Doraisa B'Shinui for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, certainly you'll be able to do a Doraisa B'Shinui for a Sakana Zayfer. You won't be able to do a Doraisa straight because it's not an Yesh Bo Sakana. But even Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who said, I'm not really sure for a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, right? I'm not really sure whether Doraisa B'Shinui, certainly for here. So we have, that's a good point, let's put it over here. A Doraisa B'Shinui, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, also permissible, even though it's not permissible, even though he wasn't sure for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, here he is sure.
Not
for Sakana Sefer,
this is not just the eye, this is all.
Any Sakana Sefer. Okay? Yes, any Sakana Sefer. So, but before we get, we'll see the Sakana's Aver issues, but regarding the eye, what are we going to do now? Because we know... So, let's just talk about it now. So, blindness. Is blindness Sakana's Aver? Right? Before we define what a Sakana's Aver is, it seems like this Gemara is defining that blindness is Sakana's Aver. So, I said before, and this is on tape, we should make sure we're clear, that if you lose vision in one eye, it's no risk for life, right? However, practically, halacha lemaisa, anybody who suddenly loses vision in one eye is in a situation of sakanas nefashim. So they're at risk of having a stroke. Okay? Why do you lose vision in one eye? One reason could be you're having a stroke because a blood clot got into your retinal artery and it's blocking blood, right? A blood clot from somewhere got into your retinal artery. It's blocking blood from hitting your eye. It's likely to go into your brain and cause a stroke. That's sakanas nefashim. Has nothing to do with your eye. Right? It's a symptom of perhaps a stroke. Anybody who ever says, I just can't see out of one eye right now, but my life isn't in danger, what should I do? Call Hatzalah right then. Okay? To be clear, it's on tape.
The organs don't just go bad.
It could go, it might just go, you're right, maybe this person has something else going on. You're right. But it's suffix sakanas nefashos. I don't care how old you are. Right? Say I'm 20 years old, I don't have strokes. You don't want to be the one guy, but I think it's a suffix sakanas nefashos. You have a chance, there's a chance this person's having a stroke. You go straight to the hospital.
Okay. So how come we never considered symptoms in the other game?
Well, they just didn't know this. Well, they just didn't know. Meaning, I'm telling you, if you came up with a symptom, you say, you know, I'm having heartburn. But not only am I having heartburn, and heartburn we said was a cholos eindosakana. So, right? Dr. Avram thought it was a cholos eindosakana. So I can take Tums. So, you know, I'm having heartburn, and all of a sudden I'm short of breath, and my heart's beating faster, and I can't really move my left arm. You don't say, well, let's see. Heartburn is called shaving sakana. Not moving your left arm, that's a kind of saver. Your heart beating fast, that's really nothing. No, you could be having a heart attack. If you could really, you have to look at it in context. So today we know to look at it in context. So I'm just pointing out, the Gemara had no idea they could be having a stroke. I'm telling you, halacha lemaisa, today we know that someone who suddenly loses vision in one eye could be having a stroke. Someone who suddenly loses the ability to move a limb, right? Someone who suddenly can't move their right arm or suddenly loses feeling in a certain arm. Suddenly, like not because he slept. Right? They lose, they're not able to move part of their body. They might be having a stroke and they go to the hospital immediately. It has nothing to do with this Gemara at all. But just halacha lemaisa, you should never come out of this thinking that if you lose vision in one eye, right, you could actually be having a stroke that's really bad. Now, could it be that the eye, something happened to it and you're just really losing your vision? Absolutely. Have them tell you that. That's great. So there is something called retinal detachment. With a retina in the back of the eye, right? Do you remember anything about the optics, right? The retina is what really interprets it, gets the image and flips it up. What's it? So it's not called retinal detachment when it detaches from the back of the eye. Right? And you start seeing blur and you can't see. I don't believe that there's a risk to life with retinal detachment. I don't believe that's true. I'm not sure, not 100%, so I'm not sure. But let's assume for a moment that it's not. That would be a valid sakana saver. That would be a valid unilateral blindness, right? That it would be sakana saver, you couldn't do the right support. Now, you would never know that this is happening. Because even if you're an ophthalmologist, you probably can't examine yourself while this is happening to you. You need to go to the hospital to find out, because it could be a stroke, it could be retinal detachment. You need to find out. So, halacha lemaisa, anyone who ever loses unilateral vision, meaning in one eye, even in both eyes, suddenly, go to the hospital, because you might be having a stroke. Fine. Now we can get back to trying to understand the Gemara, which didn't know this. Okay? So, yeah.
Didn't he tell us last semester that you can be over Isser Dura Isser for Sakana Saver?
Not Shach's. We'll see the Shach. The Shach says, by other Isurim, you can violate other Isurim. The Shach points out in Yordaya that this is only true for Shach's. This is only true for Shach's. Other Isurim, yes, for Sakana Saver. Shabbos, no. So, you're right. We'll get to the Shach. But, No, it's good. Yeah. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch now goes through. He says some eye problems. We don't have to see this in the eyes. Your eyes are hurting. The Yesh Bo Tzir, and it has like pus or something. Also, you show stuff in the most machmas akeiv, or it's hurting so much that there's blood or tears coming out very bad. You can mechal shabbos. And the Beis Yosef says, why? Because the eye is connected to the heart. Eye is connected to the heart. If your eyes are bleeding, maybe your heart can have a heart attack. That's bad. You have to treat it to avoid chilul Shabbos. But some eye concerns are... the Gemara is aware that not every eye concern. The Shulchan Aruch is already aware. He gives you... There's no reason to go through it. He gives you different problems with the eyes. Some of them, he's concerned, are sakanas nefashos. And some of them are not sakanas nefashos. So you can't... It's hard to say, well, any eye problem... The Gemara says the eye is connected to the heart. Any eye problem is chilul Shabbos because it's connected to the heart. Clearly, that's not the approach we can take. So, so what do we do today, though, when we know that the eye is not really connected to the heart in any way? Right? You can have a retinal detachment, and are we really concerned? Are we going to allow you to do a Chil Shabbos B'Daraisa for this purpose? So some poskim are going to take the approach, any eye problem, like Mara says, could be a heart problem, that's a constant puzzle. So other poskim are going to say, well, I don't know, it depends, right? Why should you assume that the eye problem is a constant puzzle? Now I'm telling you, there is one eye problem that is a constant puzzle. And if you give me eye drops, right, if someone's having a stroke, God forbid, and they lose vision in one eye, no amount of eye drops is going to help them, right? You have to treat their stroke, not their eye. So that can't be what the Gemara was referring to. The Gemara is talking about giving them eye drops or some eye medication is not going to help them if they have a stroke, right? So that's not what they were talking about, but nonetheless, again, halacha l'maaseh, that's what we do because we know better. But we know differently, not better. No, we know better, right? We know today that that can be a stroke. So some poskim will say, well, no, they assume that, but we can't do all of that. Other poskim will tell you, assume it's a constant nefashos until you know otherwise. Okay, assume it's a constant nefashos, go take it taken care of. When the doctor tells you it's not a constant nefashos, don't tell him the Gemara says yes. When something happens, you say, well, the Gemara says it could be. If it could be, that's enough for right? Even a suffix is going to be mutter for pikuach nefesh. So that's how we're going to deal with the eyes a little bit. So, fine. So moving aside from the eyes, what about other sakanas aver? How are you going to define a sakanas aver, a risk to a limb? Does it mean your finger is actually falling off? Right? What is sakanas aver? How do you lose a limb? Right? Risk to life means your life ends. So the limb ends, the limb completely malfunctions.
It's a risk of going dead.
Of going dead. It has to be actually dying completely, no function.
Aside from trauma, obviously,
or
like you get run over your arm.
Right, so that's the most likely. You chop off the tip of your finger, I don't know. So, Rav Chaim Na, he's famous for, really, one more than I don't know, it's big Pesach. But he's famous generally for one thing, for shiur, for Pesach. How much matzah do you have to eat at the Seder? A kezias. How big is a kezias, right? An olive's worth. How big is that olive? So it's a very, very, very famous. How big is an olive? How big is a ravias? How much wine do you have to drink? How much is a ravias, right? So there's Reb Chaim Na. These are the two most famous sheetahs, I guess we should say. Reb Chaim Na, the Chazon Ish. Right? It's before Pesach, so it's important. So Reb Chaim Na says by a ravias, so everything gets calculated, all these shiurim are related to each other somehow. So once you define one, you're sort of defining them all. He says a ravias is 86 cc's, and he says it's 150 cc's.
What's that in ounces?
Yeah. 2.94, and then do the math. But the reason I'm telling you this is because if you do the gematria, it's called kind of cool. It's cos, and this is cos of them. So that's how I remember. Whatever. This is close, right? 60 and 20 and 6 is 86. And 86 and 5 and 3 is 8. 6 is 14, 15.
Hagun meaning like the correct.
Hagun, correct, yeah. That's just the way the Gematria works. That's how it works. So he's famous for the Shita. He's famous by Kezias. A Kezias he held was 28 grams, I think, approximately. Chazon Ish had 53 grams or so, something like that. This is 2.96. This is, I think,
4.4. So?
4.5. Right. I think we assume. I estimate. I think it's 96 ounces. I think this is. I won't say 4.5. Maybe 4.45. That's how much you have to drink. But Moshe Feinstein and his son's high brother says 3.3 ounces. That's all you have to drink. So, l'chatchila, you're really supposed to drink most of the cup that you have in front of you. Better the whole cup that you have in front of you. Okay, so you can buy a small cup. You just be aware that when you buy glasses and they tell you it holds 3 ounces, and you're like, okay, well, 3 ounces is more than 2.96, I'll just fill it to the top. That, for whatever reason, when they sell glasses and they say 3 ounces, they don't actually hold 3 ounces. Whatever, I'm not sure why. So I was very anxious. I get, because after Erev Pesach, you can't even eat anything Erev Pesach. You can't eat matzah, you can't eat kumis in the afternoon. I'm running around with chicken powder head. I'm very hungry. And then you sit down and have a cups of wine, they get a headache. So I want to drink the minimum amount. I want to drink the whole cup, the dula chakila. Drink a whole cup, but I only have to drink a certain amount, so I can drink a whole cup of Francis. So I went to buy these glasses. And we had my 48 of them. Whatever, it's like a restaurant store. It said 3 ounces. So I said, okay, great, 3 ounces. And I figured it would be fine. And I filled it up, and it was like 2.7, 2.6. I wrote back this whole nasty email, like, how dare you advertise 3 ounces? And they're like, why do you care so much? I'm like, I care, I need to have an exact 3 ounces.
Yeah.
So I had about 4.5 ounce cup that actually holds 3.4 ounces. Whatever, it was advertised as 4, maybe it was advertised as 4. It was advertised as 4 ounces, and it really holds 3.4. So you just have to check. I was furious.
It's like you checked for the OU?
I was furious. I was stuck with 48 of these things. I'm like, I paid shipping and I had to ship it back. Whatever, so I sold them to the guys in Yeshiva, because I knew 48 people in my city. Anyway, so Reb Chaim, no.
You would advertise them as
having the right year. I returned those and bought the real ones. I had my 48 of those too, though. Because it was like some restaurants, or else you get little cups from. So it was like a restaurant. But anyway, so that's pretty much what Reb Chaim is famous for. If he's famous for anything, the second most thing he's famous for is his shita by Sakan Sefer. He says by Sakan Sefer, it doesn't mean that the limb has to stop working completely. Ella, afilu asakan yishaver yisher chalas kol yomo, that it will be weak his whole life. The loyin roy lulachta penarcha olam, it will not be able to function normally like it was before. He goes to get soleil yareful, that he'll be limping. Osha yadlo kifal karoy, or he won't be able to do the same things with his arm anymore. Gamzeh bechal sakan hasefer, that's also sakan hasefer. Kol zeh gam yisher refuah, which he thinks refuah is not going to be a big deal. He says that's also considered to be sakanas eiver. It means that if you, right, you dislocate your shoulder or you dislocate your elbow and you don't fix it, so you're not going to lose your arm. It just might not have. Let's say you break your arm, right, and you're confident there's no isodoraisa, right? You even have an X-ray. You were concerned there would be sakanas if there was a doraisa. You had an X-ray, right? Because you were concerned of something fascia, so you did an X-ray. You have to do whatever you do. But now you know there's none. So, you know, your arm's not, you're not going to lose function completely, let's say. So is it going to be a chalos engel sakana, going to do the rabbanah b'shinui? Or is it going to be a sakana saver, where I can do the rabbanah below sinui, according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, in isodaraisa b'shinui? According to the other post, I'm going to do an isodaraisa b'shinui anyway, right? For a chalos engel sakana. But here, for everybody, I can do the raisa b'shinui, or I can do the rabbanah below sinui. So what's it going to be? He says that is, you won't have the same range of motion, you won't be able to do the same amount of things, your arm won't be able to function just as it did before. That's a kind of saver. This is quoted in Shmir Shabbos, it's quoted in the Chutzani, or Nissim Karelitz quotes this, or Avadi quotes this. And this is pretty much how we pass it, that it doesn't mean that you will lose the limb completely, but even lose the functioning of the proper functioning of that limb is going to be a kind of saver. So I think that one of the very few kind of savers you can have is like you dislocate your elbow or something, you twist your ankle. Right? That's going to be sakanas eiver nowadays. We're pretty confident that there's no, we're confident that there's no risk to life, right? You just drank it. It's not like, you need to have it set. You don't need like, right? That's going to be sakanas eiver, where you would certainly be able to violate the rabbanon below shinui, and everyone would agree you could do a deraisa b'shin.
So like, severe arthritic inflammation would count as being lost in
the... So that's a question, because it depends upon when some arthritis comes and goes. That would certainly be a chalosh ein bo sakana, I think. Would certainly be a chalosh ein bo sakana. It would be a sakana's aver because it's going to get better. Unclear to me.
So any permanent potential loss of normal function?
Yeah. So what about losing a tooth? If you lose a tooth, you will not be able to chew properly. Right? Chutzani says no. No, he's a Sartian. He's not sure. Does that count or not? What if your fingernail is falling off? And if your fingernail falls off, you won't be able to play those scratch-off lottery games. And that's your normally scratch-off lottery game, where you play bingo or whatever. So you won't be able to function normally. So if your fingernail falls off, is that a second of saving? Sorry, he's not sure.
What about your hair?
Hmm?
Your hair falls off.
And you won't be able to do what functionally? Get a date.
What about
burning is almost always going to be sakanas nefashos. Just a severe burn is always going to be sakanas nefashos because of the concern for not for the burn itself, but the burn victim, meaning most a light burn or real burn. Oh, so preventing a scar, right? And even if it'll be very ugly, he says, no, that's not Sakana Seifa. You can't prevent the scar. Because we're going to wonder, we're going to have to deal with now with stitches. We'll have to share on stitches. What's the iser? Is there an iser in stitching someone? Right? If that's going to be a drabanon, it's going to be usher. If it's an iser, right, so I won't be able to do it for a chalos angel sakana or for Sakana Seifa. If it's a drabanon, right, and I can't do this machine, you don't want me stitching up your face machine. Right? That's not a good idea. You can get an Nachri, you can get a non-Jew to do it, right? And you can get the best plastic surgeon, you can get the best non-Jewish plastic surgeon in the country to come and stitch you up. It's fine, right? Assuming you're a Chalos Eimah Sakana. But is this a Sakana's Eiver because your face won't be able to function properly? He says no. You won't have the same, won't be able to get the same number of dates? He says no. Or Shlomo Salomon is a little bit more make-up than girls when it comes to stitches and something because he thinks that that's actually going to be a bigger problem for them. But most burns, like serious burns, there's concern for infection, which is systemic, which is really bad. So you treat those very, very seriously. But not because of the burn, because of the practical infection. The one other thing, do I have this later? Is a woman, let's say I have a couple who can't have children. They're having fertility problems.
Yeah.
Right? So often she has to get injections every day or have blood tests every day for X number of time. So,
we talked about this earlier.
Did we? I don't remember.
Example.
So,
maybe it was this semester.
I don't remember. I'll just say quickly then. Right? So, can she do these things on Shabbos? She's not actually sick. Nothing's wrong. Bless you. Nothing's wrong with her. She's trying to have children. She can't. It's unfortunate. It's sad. She needs our sympathy and compassion. Bless you. But does she allow our fill of Shabbos too? So, some folks come on to say she's considered a cholos ein bo sakana. Why? Because she's so distraught that she can't function well. Okay, that's possible. It's possible that she'll be so distraught, but not every woman's going to be so distraught. You're going to have to judge each one, you know, each case on its own. You have women who are doing this who are, they're concerned, they want to do it, but they're able to function normally, they're not going to qualify as a chalos ein bo sakana. So Rav Shechter wanted to say that maybe she's considered having a sakanas eiver. Rav Chaim knows sakanas eiver. Her reproductive organs are not working properly. It doesn't mean, maybe they're not working at all. But at least they're not working properly. And I could do something right now that will hopefully make them work properly. So maybe what I could do a drabanan below shinui, right? Meaning if she's healthy, I can't even do a miru l'nafri. Right? If she's not considered a chol at all, I can't even do a miru l'nafri. So I think if I consider a chol shein bo sakana, so I could do a miru l'nafri. But that depends if she's that distraught. Maybe she's not. So Shekhar wants to suggest that maybe she's considered to be a sakana seiver, that her reproductive organs are not working properly, and therefore I can do a miru offering, I can do the rabbanon below shinui, I can do the rice of shinui, which mostly boils down to being able to do a miru offering. Right? I'm allowed to do a miru offering and then have a non-Jewish person do any procedures that are necessary to help her get pregnant, because that's considered to be correcting her functional problem. So, practically, what can we do? We said we can do a sophore, sakanas eiver. Let's make a list. This is not really okay. We can do a miru l'nafri. We can do a drabanan below shinui. Right, without a need for shinui. You can also do a doraisa b'shinui. So the rice of machine that you recall for Chol Sheim Bosakana, right? Avne Nezro, Avadia, says it's Mutar, Shmir, Shabbos, Kalfas, I said, I'm not really sure. But for a Sakana's Eiver, certainly going to be permissible to do a Doraisa of Bishi. We also noted, so this is what Ben was referring to, in the last semester, that also the Chutzan is in Karlakos. So that by other Isurim, by other prohibitions, we violate a doraisa for a sakana sefer, just not Shabbos. So the Egle Tal, the same Egle Tal, he wants to give an explanation. So the Hakadama of the Egle Tal is famous for saying, right, the Gemara says that mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu, the mitzvos were not given for your own pleasure. So the question is, are you getting hanah for mitzvos or not? So people want to keep quoting, people are saying, well, if you're enjoying your learning, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. Because if you're enjoying it, you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it to enjoy yourself. You're not doing it for the Torah. If you were doing it for the Torah, you'd just be sitting in sand and you'd be serious all day, you wouldn't enjoy yourself. And maybe that's why he said it, maybe that's not why he said it. He says, no, learning Besimcha, that's the real way of learning Torah. Learning is simpler. That's what Akash Baruch wants you to do. You're learning it because you want to be learning it. That's part of you. That's the best way of learning. So in that same Hagdamah, he explains also, he explains also why Sakanas Aver might be different. And he says,
sorry,
the Avni Nezer, the Sakat of a Rebbe. So he says, so we know that mitzvah of milah is docha Shabbos, right? You do milah on Shabbos, right? We can do bris milah on Shabbos, and that's because we're even, that's correcting one aver. You're allowed to do milah on Shabbos. To break the rest of Shabbos, Shabbos, he says, is like connected kol mitzvos. So because Shabbos is considered to be like all the other mitzvos, it has to be also connected all the other limbs of your body. Meaning all the limbs of your body have to be at risk in order to violate Shabbos. Meaning your life has to be at risk to violate Shabbos. Other mitzvahs, he says, they are only related on some mystical level. Each one is like one limb. So if one limb's in danger, you can violate one of the other is certain. Shabbos, though, is school of connected kol mitzvos. It's just as important as all the other mitzvahs, therefore you only violate it when all the limbs are in danger. But when one limb is in danger, you wouldn't. So Rav Schechter thought that was cute. I don't know. Rav Schechter thought that was cute. We don't really pass him that way. He doesn't accept neither the Avnei Nezer, he doesn't accept the Shach. I mean, forget the reason, right? The reason is cute. But what about the Shach? The Shach said, you give this reason. So Rav Schechter thought, we don't accept the Shach, we don't accept the Avnei Nezer. We don't accept the Avnei Nezer, we don't accept the Shach. So if you don't accept the Shach, that means you cannot violate, and this is the right first kind of say, right? The Tzitz Eliezer, however, takes it very seriously. He wants to know if a Kohen gets his finger cut off, his own finger, during the week, can he get it reattached? So a finger that's cut off is mitamei ba'ol, causes tumah. It's an eifer melechai, it's mitamei ba'ol. The Kohen's prohibited from encountering tumah. So, right, it's a daraisa. So how is he ever going to get this attached? He's going to have to go into the reason, have to either carry it with him to the doctor, which he's not allowed to, he can't touch it. So find someone else to touch it. But he can't be in the same room as it. So generally, surgery is not performed under the open sky. How are you going to do this? So he says, Sakana Sefer. It's Sakana Sefer, you violate Nesod Daraisa. Right, based on the Shach, you can violate Nesod Daraisa, you can violate Nesod Kumas Kohanim in order to reattach his finger. He takes it very seriously. He takes this very seriously. Okay.
So we possibly can violate other Nesod Daraisa?
So the Shach says yes. The Shach says you can. And many poskim I saw quote this. It's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos. I thought it was quoted in Arfa Shabbos. It was quoted. Since Eliezer takes this very seriously, Rav Avadia takes this very seriously. Rav Schechter thought not. I saw Rav Leif. He thought yes.
Is Rav Schechter a Kohen?
No, he's not. His son-in-law is a Kohen.
So his son-in-law's finger cut off,
he'd tell him. I don't know what he would tell him to do. No, I'm saying, but he relates. Sometimes he has all these interesting second by Thomas Kohanim because his son-in-law's Kohen. So he has some movie signs. But he is not a Kohen. Several of the Rosh Yeshiva are. I think a higher percentage than the rest of the population, which is interesting. Yeah.
Does the Rambam ever talk about, because he was a physician, he talks about like cells. So like, does he ever like...
No cells. He doesn't know about cells.
There was a book I read where he talks about something, he doesn't talk to the...
Okay, yeah, cells, we don't have
about cells. How things might be constructed out of... Because theoretical
yeah, yeah.
Pretty cool, but does he ever like correct... Does he ever expand upon this at all as a physician?
So sometimes he either does quote something or doesn't quote something, and some of the Farshim say, no, he didn't quote it because he knew it wasn't true.
Right.
Or he did quote it, but it's hard to know. He doesn't stick it in so often. It's just when they throw these things in, you know, he didn't pass in this way because he didn't think it was... It's hard to know. There are a lot of arguments for silence. Okay, so let's just do this one last topic, and then we'll call it a day. What about children? So if you look in the packet, let's read it. Shin Kaf Ches 17. Right, we're talking about the same piece in Shulchan Aruch about a cholos ein bo sakana. So the Ramah at the end, he says, Mutar lomar leinu yehudi lasos tavshe lakadam shein lo malachol. You can tell a non-Jew, you can ask a non-Jew to cook something for a child who doesn't have what to eat. Distam tzar chikatan ticholos yesh bo sakana dam. Because the needs of our katan are compared, of a child are compared to a cholos she'ein bo sakana. Okay? Right? So you see the needs. So the question is, the Rama is talking about cooking him food. And he says, because the needs of Rakhanda are like a whole same Sakhanda, the Tila Ladav, it says it's only by food. Because, you know, if a child doesn't eat, he doesn't have anything to eat, he's not going to be able to fast until the end of Shabbos. There's no food left, it all got spoiled. You can ask a non-Jew to cook for him, his life's not in danger, but Lagabe food, he's considered a whole same Sakhanda. If the kid doesn't eat for several hours, he's going to be a whole same Sakhanda. The Gra disagrees. The Gra says, well, based on where the Gemara is coming from, the Gemara says that a katan, a child who is wanting, who really, really is missing his father, so the father can pick him up even if he's holding something that's mukta. Right? Even though the child's holding something that's mukta, and when the father picks him up, the father is going to be holding something that's mukta, right? Kilachar yad. He'll be holding it with the shinun, right? Because he's not holding it directly. That's mudr because the child is considered to be a cholosh ein basakana. The child who so desperately is so wanting his father and he's crying, right? And if he doesn't pick him up, he's not going to be consoled. So even though he's holding mukta, he could pick him up. Even though it'll be Issa Rabbanan Bishinui, right? It'll be Issa Rabbanan Bishinui, he's not holding straight. But nonetheless, the kid's considered to be like a cholosh ein basakana, and therefore you can pick him up. So he says, you see, it's not about food. You could pick up mukta. It's not about food. So Rav Shechter thought that, no, this is just the same Rav Shechter says it. What's the difference between a child and someone who's not acting normally? It takes a lot less for a kid not to act normally than for an adult. Right? If a kid doesn't get his bottle, he doesn't get his pacifier, he's not going to be consoled, he's not going to act normally. And therefore, you can treat him like a child and a child. So we saw there's a three machlokas. Atila David says only food, the Gra says anything, and Rav Shechter says sort of applies to the same standard he's wanting to every child and a child. So the question is now, until what age? What is a child? Lagabe this. And so we have a list of poskim, random people saying, different people saying random chikas. So say that, I have no idea how we poskim. The Shagas Aryeh is quoted as saying 2 or 3 years old and really only food against the growth. The Tzitz Eliezer says, that's too lenient. He says, really, 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 should be 5 or 6. Okay. The Minchas Yitzchak says, well, we have to, well, how are you going to judge this? Where are you going? Are you just making up things? He says, well, let's take it from another area of halacha. How old do you have to be to start fasting for part of Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, maybe about age 9. The Gemara says a child younger than 9 should not fast at all. Right? A child older than 9, you can start training him to fast for a couple hours during the day. Something like that. Not the whole day, but a couple hours during the day. So he says the same thing here. That's considered to be a katan. The Gemara considers that child to be a katan up to age 9. Rabbi Tzion Abashol was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Par Yosef. So he says in his Oral Tzion, he says, whoa, we don't have any. That's about fasting on Yom Kippur. We have nothing in halacha that tells me what a katan is. The only thing in halacha I know what a katan is bar mitzvah. If you're bar mitzvah, you're a gadol. You're not bar mitzvah, you're a katan. 13. So anyone up to age 13 is going to be considered a cholos embas, meaning no matter what they need, we're talking they're not sick. Rav Avadia Yosef says, he says, look, I don't know, let's, we should go with the middle shita, because we should always go by the middle shita. That's like, we should always take the golden mean, 9. Someone said 5, someone said 9, someone said 13, 9 it is. About 9 years old, they're going to be a cholos embas agana. There were these about first any needs that they might have, right? It has nothing to do with whether they're ill or not. They don't have to be ill. So with this, coming full circle, my neighbor who came to me Friday night, so the kid was 3 years old. So first of all, he qualifies for everybody. That's close aim basakana. Even if he just wants to play something, right? He's not sick at all. I also thought he happened to be sick enough to be a close aim basakana. But even if he wasn't, he's 3 years old according to everybody, and just to make him comfortable, we would be able to do, we treat him like a cholosh ein basakana, which means do Amira Lenofri, do a Durabana Bishinui, and according to some poskim, do a Duraisa Bishinui. But he qualified under both circumstances, so I was pretty confident that it was okay. Okay?
So what kind of needs does the child?
Let's say he's hungry. Let's say he wants, I have food, and he doesn't want to eat what I'm serving. So can I warm up something that would be an issue to Rabbanan on Shabbos to warm up, because I know he likes that, to eat. It's not a whole shame for circle. They're just being picky. Right? The 2-year-old, they get picky. They don't want the bananas or whatever you're serving. And so they want something else. So it would seem that it would be mutter to do a Rabbanan Bishinui. Right? They do a Rabbanan Bishinui. Amir Lanofri, can you ask a non-Jew to like warm up a soup? They ask a non-Jew to warm up a soup for you. You have a soup that's ready made, you have to warm it up. So we assume that that's a Dara'is, so you can't warm up a soup that's cold on Shabbos. The kid really likes soup. Or warm up a bottle. The kid doesn't want the warm, the cold bottle. So you can ask a non-Jew to warm up the bottle for you, for him, even though he's not really sick. He's just fetching. He wants a bottle. Okay?
He's complaining about something that has nothing to do with his health.
Nothing with itself. He just wants a warm bottle. He wants his warm bottle.
He wants like a toy, and so you buy it for a bunch of hours.
You're saying buying is only used to drop on. You have to buy it cheaply. Maybe. Is that going to be considered again? We're going to have, what is a tzorah? The same thing by Cholos Yeish Bo Sakana. What are we going to allow you to do for him is going to be a tzorah. So I think at some point you're going to be, that's already too much, but something for his, showing him a bottle, he can drink the warm bottle. He wants it hot. He's being picky. So I think that's already will allow it. I'm not sure where the limit, I think there should be a limit somewhere. I don't know where it would be. Okay, so that's it for Cholos Yeish Bo Sakana. Next time we'll start talking about a Mechos Be'alma, someone who is not sick, and the prohibition about taking medications, and then we'll talk about some of the, we'll move on to some of the more specific applications of Chovel and other things. Okay, fine. We'll see you on Wednesday.